You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time to highlight access to heritage and the national landscape now here on RNIB Connect Radio through the Access Able guides for just over 1,000 National Trust locations as we mark Global Accessibility Awareness Day today, Thursday, the 15th of May 2025. I'm delighted to say that Rachel Osmothley, who is the Visitor Journey Development Manager for Access, Experience and Partnerships at the National Trust, joins me now to tell me more about the Access Able Guides. Hello, Rachel, and welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Oh, hi, Toby. Thanks for having me.
Firstly, Rachel, how did the partnership between Access Able and the National Trust come about on working on these Access Guides, as I believe you have been working together for quite a while now?
Yes, that's right. It actually predates my time at the National Trust. So I've only been with the National Trust for 2 years, so it predates me. As I understand it, conversations go back probably 5 years now. And it all started from people raising the issue that although we had quite a bit of accessibility information on our web pages, that it just wasn't consistent enough for visitors. So each of our places kind of did the best they could on their web pages with their staff, you know, with their team and their knowledge. But it meant that across the whole of the National Trust, it was quite an inconsistent picture. And the detail was missing, you know, that really kind of the nitty gritty detail that's really useful to people that visit, and particularly disabled people that are often trying to find out more information and plan their visits and find out even if a place is for them. So from that point, we realised there was a bit of a gap. And that's when the conversation started with Access Able, who are an external partner to us. And what they do is they provide that really kind of consistent picture of pre-visit information for people, and they host it themselves on their website. So once the conversations had started, we realised, I think it was a bit of a no-brainer, that that was definitely a better way forward and a better way for our visitors. So it went from there, really. And then, yes, the last couple of years have been, you know, full steam ahead with Access Able surveyors going out across our sites, surveying our sites. And they're not auditing the site, so they're not auditing what could be better or what isn't there. What they're surveying is just fact. So, you know, measurements of things, the detail around things, like what is the car park like, what are the toilets like, doorway width, surface areas, all of that kind of thing to give a really detailed picture, which is then hosted on their website. So we're at a position now, I guess, where we're a good chunk of the way through the project. So as you said at the start, a lot of places have been visited by the surveyors. There's been a lot of information collected. There's nearly 2,000 access guides being created for all our different places. And that now is all going out live on our web pages. So there's a link on our web pages, but also directly through Access Able through their website as well. So it's a really exciting time, actually, because we're starting to see the project come to fruition and people are starting to benefit from it. So the latest information I had actually this week, I had a chat with our team at Access Able, and there's been 60,000 people have used our National Trust guides over the last year. So that's the first year, really, that we've had any guides live on our web pages, and 60,000 people have used those already. So that's fantastic news for us. It's doing exactly what we hoped it would do.
And what sort of things around access were being looked at through the surveys, and anything specific to blind and partially sighted people?
Yeah, so it's a mix of everything, because they approach their surveys from a kind of pan-disability perspective. So the surveyors are not making any assumptions about who needs what information. They're just collecting the information. And it really is everything from kind of distance from the car park to the visitor centre. It's all the information around the toilets, so that you know where they are on site, what kind of toilets they have. Do they have more accessible toilets? What does that look and feel like? So there's things like if the toilet seats contrast with the rest of the toilet, for example. So things around visual contrast, things around steps and access, so that you can plan your visit and perhaps choose a route that feels more accessible to you. There's obviously information around assistance dogs welcome, and of course across everywhere, across all of our sites. But if there's anything additional to that, some of our places have dog welcome stations, for example, with water bowls and treats and all sorts of things. So there's really a little bit of everything. There's things like if there's Braille, if there's large print on site, if there's any audio description, if there's anything that will help you essentially to either physically access and navigate around the site, but also how best to engage and enjoy the site. So it's a little bit of both. It's always very practical, but it's a bit about practical physical access and kind of getting to the site and, as I said, navigating around it. But it's also very much, what have we got that's extra? What will help you to engage and enjoy your day as well? Because, you know, Toby, we know that people go to National Trust for a fun day out, don't they, with family and friends. Sometimes, you know, they might be really interested in the history side and they want to know that they can access more about that history. And that's where perhaps some of the braille or the large print or the audio description might come in, the audio guides. But equally, they could perhaps just want a nice walk out in nature, in which case it might be more about the best pathways and surfaces and are there any gates and barriers and seating and things like that. Or simply they want to go to the cafe to meet a friend for a nice coffee. And again, there's information about where the cafe is, how to access that, you know, any information that you might need around that cafe. So it's a real wealth of information, and it's not written for any one particular disability. It's definitely pan-disability, and it's kind of like, for you, on your terms, you can pick out the information that's most relevant. And for the areas that's most relevant. So if you are just popping by for a cup of tea, you can look at Accessable, you can choose a place that you're visiting, and you can look just at the cafe. So you can just find out about the cafe. So you haven't got to wade through tons of information either. You can just focus on the bits that are important to you. If the parking is the thing that, you know, is always difficult for you and you want to make sure that's right, you can look at just the parking. So that's how the guides work. So it's a really great resource.
They sound fantastic. And obviously, the Accessable guides are a great resource for disabled people as well as blind and partially sighted people. But I wondered whether working with Accessable on the guides has, in many ways, formed any further work around access at National Trust locations?
Yeah, it definitely has. There's a couple of things, really. I think just purely working with an external partner, whenever that happens at National Trust, and obviously with any organisation, it really helps you to think about other audiences and about what other organisations are doing and about their best practice and their skills and their experience. And that always influences what you then do, you know, back at the National Trust. So there's definitely that. So some of the things that we've discovered through working with Accessable has really opened our eyes to what more can be done and what other organisations do differently. And some of the information that they collect, where they also collect what we haven't got and what we don't do. So that also has kind of identified gaps, I suppose, in what we can maybe do more of or do better. And I think that's, so the sort of two sides of it really is that kind of really energizing work with partners, I suppose, but also that really practical level of, well, what can we add in? What can we do more of? So where we're seeing sites that offer our standard audio description, how can we roll that out across more of our sites and make that more standard, for example? And we're looking, you know, in the future to not just working with Accessable, but working with other partners. So who else is out there that might actually bring their skills and experience to the National Trust? And we might work together to provide a better experience for all disabled people and to make our places more welcoming and more inclusive. And that's ultimately the ambition for everybody here, is to be as welcoming and as inclusive as possible. So, you know, everybody will do what they can, and we're always learning and it's continuous improvement, but we're always looking at what we can do better. So I would say that's really helps to influence that.
Well, it's great to hear, and it's great to hear about that partnership. And also, as well as the Accessable guides, I know a number of National Trust locations and properties offer other resources and tours for blind and partially sighted people, as you've mentioned already, Rachel. But I wondered, where can people go to find out more about both the Accessable guides, but also information about access at a National Trust location near them?
Yeah, so for the Accessable guides, you can go directly to the Accessable website, which works on tablets, laptops, but also on your phone. And that's www.accessable.co.uk. So you can go straight to them and a search bar comes up. You can put into the search bar, if you know a place that you want to visit or you think you want to visit or that's local to you, you can put the name in the search bar and it will come up. Or you can just type in National Trust and it will bring up all of our places and you can have a browse and see where you might like to visit. You can also go to our web pages. So again, if you know the place you'd like to visit, you can go directly to the place webpage and search for that. And you'll find a section on the front page called Accessibility. And the link to the Accessable Guide, the direct link, is kept in there. So you can see that and click on the direct link. It will take you straight to Accessable information. And also on our web pages, we have additional access information. So you often find more information as well about accessibility at the site, and quite often some links to things for pre-visit, like maybe visual stories that include audio description as well. So it's a good starting place as well. So those are the two kind of main places. And whichever you go to, you will find obviously a wealth of information and the kind of things that might be more relevant to you if you are blind or partially sighted. As you've mentioned before, Toby, there are sensory walks and touch tours that people are organising at our places where you can get hands-on with collections or sensory tours of the garden, for example. There's Braille, there's large print, there is audio described content. So often that's audio visual content that has an audio description option. For example, somewhere like Sizer up in Cumbria in the north, they do some really great audio described tours that sit on their web pages. So actually, you don't even need to visit. You can just listen to the tours and imagine you're there. It's brilliant. And there's, of course, what we shouldn't forget to mention as well is that it's not really captured on our web pages, obviously, but our volunteers and our staff teams at every place are ready to welcome you at our places. So if you have any questions or you're not sure if a place is for you or you didn't find the information you need, please do, you know, contact our places. Please do contact either us as an organisation or the place that you would like to visit and ask the questions, you know, or give us feedback about what you couldn't find. Because as I said earlier, we're constantly trying to improve and we want to spot these gaps. So please do that, you know, and if you do want to get in touch with us through the whole organisation, you can get in touch with us on an email address, which is enquiries@nationaltrust.org.uk. And we'll obviously pick up those inquiries or those questions and share with the relevant teams.
Well, that all sounds wonderful. And thank you so much indeed, Rachel, for chatting with me here on RNIB Connect Radio and telling me more about the National Trust Accessable Guides as we mark Global Accessibility Awareness Day today.
Well, thank you for having me.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.